I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Well, I heard today that this is the first day of summer, and I'm assuming it's true because I heard someone on TV say it this morning. And what a better way to say summer, really, than with barbecue. Today, in our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we go behind the scenes of the competitive St. Louis barbecue scene. In the June issue of Sauce, managing editor Julie Cohen profiles the Missouri Shark Fisherman's Club, which is part of the St. Louis Barbecue Society. Julie joins us today. Hi, Julie. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Steve.
And representing the Missouri Shark Fisherman's Club, President Mark Reardon and Matt Reardon.
Thanks, Steve.
And Vice President Robin Brown. Welcome to you both. First of all, I have to ask you about the name of your organization, the Missouri Shark Fisherman's Club. What does that have to do with barbecue?
Well, it started off, we were going to be named Matt, Man, and Robin. That was going to be the name of the team. But there's a lot more people involved in it than just us two. So it started off as we were going to Florida, our annual trip to Florida, and we started going shark fishing down there at night on the beach. Went, 5 years without catching one? So we decided to make up sharks as a joke because people would say, what's the largest shark you ever caught? Never caught one. We just get catfish. So that's where we had shirts that were already set up just from our annual trips down to Florida.
So that's
so you had the shirt, so you thought, why not?
Well, he
why
bought not? The shirts. That's why he's president.
Well, you've got yours on, Robin.
Yeah,
as
I do.
Fact.
I do. I came in colors. He didn't.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you're not only the only group in the barbecue world that has odd names.
No, it's clever names usually catch on.
Well, what's the one group? And Julie, you mentioned it in your article. The one group you guys are always
Pig's Worst Nightmare.
Pig's Worst Nightmare. That's another group. Julie, how did this? How did these guys come under your radar screen?
Well, it was funny. I asked. I used to work with Matt Dekaus. He was a principal at a school where I taught, and I asked him to recommend a team because I knew I wanted to profile a team and I wanted to make sure it was a colorful. I think I explained. I want to be with a funny team who has a lot of character but a lot of talent. And he recommended the Missouri Shark Fishermen. Then I went and asked Frank Schmier, the owner of St. Louis Home Fires, same question. And, you know, there's a lot of different teams in St. Louis, and Frank recommended the same exact team. So I thought that was, you know, a pretty good endorsement.
So were you funny before barbecue or after?
We're funny after the six-pack.
Yeah, I think you're funny about midday.
Now, you know, that comes out in the article, the role that I think Miller plays in this whole thing. Right?
Yeah, for you two, right?
Oh, they are. Well, Miller's the star.
What is this St. Louis barbecue scene? And this, the clubs, I don't know anything about this.
Well, it's just a bunch of people got together. Actually, Frank started the thing. Frank and Pig's Worst Nightmare and a bunch of guys, they started the Barbecue Society to promote the barbecue. And, you know, it's just grown. I mean, it's grown. His first one out there in front of the store was six teams?
Six or seven teams, yeah.
We went the next year, it was 20. But we didn't compete. We went to look. And that's when we said we're going to compete. And we went the following year, and it was 61 teams.
What's it now?
It's close to 100.
Wow.
No kidding. And the season is really a long season. Don't you have something early in the year, and then it really goes through fall almost, right?
Oh, it goes. Yeah, we start out with the freeze queue in January, and I think we'll end up, Holy Smokers normally last week in October, Halloween.
Because you can barbecue all year.
You can.
Right?
Yeah.
And this year you'll be going a little longer because you'll be at the KC.
Yeah, the Royal will be there. But that's the early part of October.
Well, is barbecue all about the sauce? Is that it?
No, it's all about the beer.
No. We keep coming back to this.
I think it is sauce. And in competition, they're looking for a sweet sauce, a sweet taste to it.
That's a St. Louis thing, right? Because barbecue is different depending on what region of the country you're in. And aren't we known for the sweet stuff?
Yeah,
here?
But I think Kansas City's more sweet, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they. If you go up there and eat, it's sweet.
Well, in this article that Julie Cohen wrote in Sauce Magazine, she's describing an event where she was with you guys, and you had chicken on the grill, and you call it Frankenstein.
Well, it takes
which
forever.
Is not really appetizing, but what do you mean by that?
Our chicken takes forever. It really does. We trim our chicken. We scrape our skins. The judges are looking for a bite-through skin. You take a bite, your skin can't pull off.
Really?
They want it just a bite-through. They want to taste the the chicken, they want to taste your rub, and they want to taste your sauce.
And the reason you call your this chicken thing that you do Frankenstein is because you literally sort of put it together.
Right.
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 I mean, it's We're 2 hours. It's 2 hours to prep 16 pieces.
Wow. And this is serious competition because you can, I mean, there's prize money involved here. Anything from, what, a couple hundred dollars? Didn't you once win something like $7,700?
No, the pigs did.
The pigs did.
Yeah.
We just borrowed money from them. That's
yeah.
That's
they bought beer the following week.
No, but this it's expensive to get in. It's a couple hundred dollars to get in, and you have $300 in meat and plus your other stuff. So you're looking at $600-$700 to get in each one of these contests.
Uh-huh.
So it's really expensive to get in.
Well, Julie, what's your as an observer, what's your sense here? I mean, I can see that it's really competitive, but it seems to be all good-natured at the same time.
It does. I think that was one of the best parts of kind of following these guys over the last few months is just seeing the camaraderie and how much that the teams can make fun of each other, but how they just really, really like each other at the end of the day. And how much fun everybody has.
Well, paint a picture for me then of a typical barbecue competition. When does the work for you guys actually begin? What happens? Can you walk me through it?
Yeah, well, it usually starts early in the week with the sauce and the rubs. And, you know, the sauce is a big thing, too, and the rubs got to complement the sauce. So you got to work, you know, figure that all out.
I'm a novice now. What comes first, sauce or the rub?
Rub goes on first. Sauce goes on last.
But they have to work together. You know, so they're, I mean, that's the big part of getting your flavor out of there. But then we start early in the week doing that, and then we shop, and then
Wednesday's shopping, Thursday's packing, Friday's travel day and setting up. Once we get there, we have to set it. You know, it starts right when you get there because you have to set all your tables, your tents up, get your meat inspected, start trimming your meats. So it's nonstop for 24 hours.
And who are the judges? I mean, who's qualified to judge this?
Anyone can, really, actually. Yeah. My husband and I were planning on taking the course to become judges.
You take a course to become a judge?
You could do it, too.
Yeah, they
I could?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just go to the Barbecue Society and you know, the website, and it tells you when the courses are being held.
You know, when you talked about the sauce, I had this mental image of you guys getting together, going to libraries, and, you know, comparing notes, going through all this work. But then I read in Julie's piece that actually you got your recipe from the son of your daughter's orthodontist.
Oh, which is my daughter's orthodontist.
That's where the recipe came from?
My wife was there and took her to the office, and she was talking to the receptionist, and the receptionist said, my son owns a restaurant down in southern Missouri, and he makes his own sauce. So she goes, it's really simple sauce. Here you go. So she gave it to us. And it was all right. It was sort of bland, so we tweaked it and made it our own sauce, which is a really good sauce.
Mm-hmm. Now, is consistency important? Do you have to have the same type of sauce? I mean, do you have a reputation that every barbecue competition that you participate in where the sauce has to be the same, or do you mix it up and change it?
Well, we mix it up a little bit, but it needs to be you're trying to make it as sweet as possible because these judges only take one bite. So in that one bite, they just got to have, it has to be sweet, has to be salty from the rub. It has to have all these flavors just in that one bite.
Uh-huh. So. And Robin, I think I read in the article, too, that sometimes your strategy, you have to have a strategy. Like what might win, the one bite that might win might lose if they ate a whole portion. Explain that.
Well, I mean, you take like your ribs. So you do a rib and you make it just terribly sweet, because that's what the judge wants. So he eats it. But if you ate the whole thing, I don't think you'd enjoy it as much as, you would your regular backyard rib because it's too sweet. And the same way pretty much not the chicken. The chicken's so small, it tastes good anyways. See, I'm a chicken freak.
Yeah, but we've tasted some people, other competitors' barbecue, and it was so sweet. If you ate the whole rib, you'd probably puke. I mean, it is so sweet. It had so much honey on it. It's unbelievable.
Which goes over really well at a barbecue convention.
Yeah, but they're taking one bite, so that's all they're tasting.
That's Matt Reardon. We're also talking to Robin Brown from the Missouri Shark Fishermen's Club. Julie Cohen of Sauce Magazine is also here. Julie, did you learn anything from the time? And you've spent a great deal of time with these guys.
Yeah, I started talking to them in January, and went to, I was up until basically I had a baby a few weeks ago, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, until I couldn't actually walk anymore. I was going to their events.
And that's because of the barbecue, let's be clear.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting part, actually, I learned. At these competitions, you don't really get to eat any of it.
What?
Because it's just for the judges. You know, you think you're going to walk in and try everyone's barbecue, but it's really just for the judges and for the competition. And then there's other types of competitions where you can buy it for purchase, but usually it's just competition.
Well, I was going to say, why do people go if they can't eat?
Observing.
Yeah, I know. That's a good question.
Well, usually you go because you have friends there.
Yeah.
And you could taste the friends' barbecue, you know. So we have plenty of people. We have plenty of, like last weekend, I mean, friends ate all of our food afterwards, all the leftovers.
Well, is there any tips you can give me? I don't consider myself a barbecuer. I grill, which means I take a piece of chicken or a piece of meat and throw it on a grill, right? Turn it over a couple times, it's done. But barbecue is a long,
it's all indirect.
Complicated
it's not
process.
It's all indirect.
It's all indirect heat.
So what would you tell a novice like me?
Yeah, what does indirect heat even mean when you're talking
not
about?
Not over the charcoals. Over charcoal is direct heat, away from the charcoal.
So do you put the charcoal in the middle or do you make a ring of charcoal?
On the side.
All the way one side.
On the side. Hmm.
And you just, yeah, that's keep your meat on the other side. That's indirect heat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can put your wood chips on or you can get smoke flavor too.
Well, what's the biggest mistake people make when they're barbecuing?
Charcoal, lighter fluid.
Oh.
Never use lighter fluid.
You call it a chimney, right?
Yeah, the charcoal chimney. And we use lump charcoal because we like the taste, you know, the flavor you get from it. A lot of people like briquettes. We don't like briquettes, you know, so.
The lump charcoal will burn all the way through to where you have very little ash. You know, where if you ever did briquettes,
uh-huh.
You got to clean the grill out, you know.
Right.
All the time, but the lumps burns a lot hotter.
So tell me the truth. What happens when you go to someone's house and they have like a gas grill? Do you snicker?
Yeah.
We don't eat.
You just refuse to eat?
We talk about them after
it's all good.
No.
Well, what's the main difference between if I'm barbecuing for some friends in my backyard and what you guys do when you're doing competitive barbecuing? What's the main difference?
We have to deal with presentation too. That's huge for us, you know. Something in the backyard, you know, it could be burnt and still be good, but ours has to have the right color, the right tenderness.
Like the brisket, if it doesn't pull apart, you know, it doesn't score. I mean, there's so many things involved in it. The rib's you got to bite through the rib. You can't pull the rib off the bone. If you pull it off the bone, you're gone.
Julie, are you sure you're qualified to judge this? This sounds complicated.
I know.
She will be when she gets done with the course.
I have to take the class. But the presentation was really fun for me to observe because how serious everybody took it. You know, it really was like a piece of art when they were putting together these little boxes for each judge.
Well, it sounds like it'd be fun. Are there room for more teams? I mean, could I get a bunch of friends together and make a team? How would that work?
That's what we did. You know, that is the best, you know, best way. Just get your friends and just join one of the competitions.
And actually, we encourage the new teams to get by us because we'll help them out all they, you know, we can.
And most everybody else will, too.
Right.
They all help them real well.
Until they get too good.
Right, yeah. Right. Then we won't talk to them.
I find that hard to believe. We're talking with Robin Brown and Matt Reardon of the Missouri Shark Fishermen's Club. And I understand you guys are off to some big competition soon, right? You're qualified for?
Yeah, the Royale, Kansas City Royale.
Well, good luck with that. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's huge. There's 550 teams in that one. So.
Well, if you want to find out more, learn more about what we've been talking about, check out the June edition of Sauce Magazine. And, Julie, before we go, I know that Sauce's annual Saucy Soiree is coming up on the 30th. What's that all about?
Well, it's our annual event where we invite all of our winners from our Reader's Choice poll that's in our July issue of the magazine. And it's 35 restaurants. We have wineries. We have breweries. And it's at the Four Seasons. June 30th from 5 to 10 p.m.
All right.
Tickets are $35.
All right, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to Sauce Magazine, everything you need to know. Julie Cohen, managing editor, thanks so much for being here. Matt Reardon and Robin Brown, keep barbecuing.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you today. Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk about Gitana Productions' drama, exploring the challenges of Afro-Latino identity. And with Broadway producer and former NEA chair, Rocco Landisman, about his induction to the St. Louis Walk of Fame. And we'll take a tour of the new wing of the St. Louis Art Museum. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk about current issues pertaining to the law with a panel of legal experts. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr and Hannah Durham. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and don't forget the barbecue.